After constantly being bombarded with emails, phone calls, and text messages on a daily basis asking, what would you do? Sometimes it's an, oh crap, I made a mistake, help me. And sometimes it's just a question about the latest technology and do we feel it's worth the investment. We want to help answer all of these questions. So, welcome to What Would Larry Do? Featuring Dr. Ann. We'll be interviewing experts in the industry to help answer the questions that you desire to know the answers to. And now, it's time for What Would Larry Do? Featuring Dr. Ann.
Hello, and welcome to What Would Larry Do? I am Dr. Ann, and I'm here with Larry Helwig.
Good morning.
It's a Friday morning, and it's July 1st.
Yes, and we're ready for the long weekend.
I know.
So ready.
We are now officially closer to Christmas than we are far away from it. Oh. Welcome to July.
Yeah, okay. And 108 degrees.
Yeah. I know. It's hot here in Arizona. Everybody else is probably having nice weather. Although I'm not going to lie, I'm still okay with where we're at temperature-wise. I'm not going to complain yet.
We'll do it.
Once it hits 115, I'll start whining.
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, good. Well, we have a topic today, which is actually the basis for the reason why Larry and I started this podcast. So originally, if you go back and listen to our first one, the idea of this podcast came to the two of us because he and I both train and we travel and we have our practice. So constantly on a daily basis, we would get anything from text messages to emails to actual phone calls saying, what would you do? Like, and from a variety of things to they had a problem with a patient to what kind of equipment would you buy, so on and so forth. So today we're kind of doing our annual What Would Larry Do? Actually answering some questions, like real questions that have come in from real people, and we're going to answer them.
Yeah, we actually could probably do a few more of these because there's just a lot, and it's like you try to go through and pick a few that will address the issue for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And but there's hundreds of these, so we'll get through what we can get through, and next time we'll do some more.
Yep. So that way, too, if you guys ever do have questions that you actually want us to answer, you can submit them via our website. You can submit them on our social media. That's the best way to get a hold of us, is probably through like an Instagram, sending some questions and things like that. But we're just going to kind of dive into it because we have quite a few to cover. So our first one, Larry, that actually came in via our social media is, do you use exosomes?
And the answer to that is yes. We're big time believers in exosomes. In fact, we've had some podcasts on it. And, this is, I think, the new territory for people. Mm-hmm. We've all done PRP.
Yep.
Then there was PRF.
Yeah.
And, a couple years, few years ago, exosomes started getting into the conversation. It's amazing. It's been so fun having them.
It's the closest way we can get to stem cells legally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So anybody who was using stem cells before, eventually the FDA came in and said, nope. And they're not letting them do it. So this is actually a legal way that it's FDA approved to topically apply these products. It's the closest that we can get to stem cells.
And the advantage to it is, and again, you'll find a lot of this in the podcast, but it's easy to do.
Yes.
You know, and there's different brands, different companies. How many exosomes do they have? They have 5 billion, they have 17 billion, they have whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then growth factors, some will have, 50 growth factors, some might have 150, whatever it is. But what we have found is basically, yes, you should be using exosomes daily in your practice. If you're not, we do. And it seems no matter what we've used, they've worked.
Yeah.
So we have zero complaints. I think we did do a podcast on one called XOE from Aesthetic Management Partners recently. Did we not?
No.
Okay, in the future.
Good try. It is coming. It's just not been done yet, but it's in the list. It's in the queue, I should say.
We're using it because it's a very comprehensive program. program.
Yeah.
You have 5 days of pre-treatment called detox where you're prepping the skin. And I think if you're doing microneedling or microneedling RF or you're doing profractional or, you know, laser type treatments, prepping the skin is a great thing. You know, and this automatically does it. It's a morning night application by the patient at home. Simple, easy to do. Then they come in for the treatment, and then you use your what's called XOE with the growth factors and everything in it, and immediately post-treatment. And then they go home with another little kit of what's called repair. I had to think about it a minute.
I know. I was gonna let you flounder on that one. Yeah. I'm gonna see if he can pull this out on a Friday morning.
It is Friday, okay. It's called repair, and it's morning night for 5 days. And so you have, you know, for any given treatment where you're opening the skin, you have a really complete and comprehensive program. We like it. It's cost effective. This is not an expensive thing to do. And you will see rapid changes in skin. And I think that's it. You know, that's why, of course, people do it, is you get rid of inflammation so much faster, the healing is so much faster, and you can take days off of what normally would be downtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the answer is yes, we do it, and we highly recommend you do it. We've had situations where people have actually burned a patient or did something, you know, quite serious and contact us where we FedExed exosomes to them so that, you know, until they got their own, the next day they could be applying this to make a nice difference in that skin, and it always makes a nice difference.
Oh, yeah, so, absolutely. Well, my next question I love because this is a good one. So what is the fastest way to get rid of wrinkles on a chest or décolleté area?
Well, it's so easy. Anyone can do this. You simply grab the girls and pull them apart.
My gosh.
Right?
Larry.
Does that not work? I mean, is that not correct?
But it doesn't create a, aesthetically pleasing look for the boobs, you know?
Well, that wasn't what was in the question. It was about the wrinkles. Okay, you do this, the wrinkles are gone. So just do this all the time.
No, we need real answers.
It's Friday, I'm having fun.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. There's a lot of directions we can go with this, and there's all kinds of ways to treat. Let's start off by saying, how'd you get them? You know, how is this occurs?
Sun damage.
Sun is a big part, right?
And, but what's the other big part?
Well, let's stay with sun for a minute because, you know, we have patients all the time that will put sunblock on their face and they stop there. Mm-hmm. You know, like neck and chest doesn't count, doesn't matter. And this is thin skin. Thin skin.
Oh, yeah.
What's going to happen? Of course you're going to get little wrinkles and fine lines and things like that, which will develop into more and more. And that really gets to be rough, scaly tissue over time. And so, you know, hey, you don't have to have that.
Rough, scaly tissue. Yeah.
Did I say Friday morning?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we don't want the alligator look, you know, crocodile look here, you know. And so you do need to clean it up. And that's also pigment, you know. You get a lot of pigment there, and you end up with red. You push, get a little compression with your finger, and you let go, and it blanches. That means you have a lot of vessels there that you're not supposed to have. So there's all kinds of things that have to do with damage to that tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So fine lines, wrinkles, all that is a big part of it. So that, you know, that's one way to get it. I think if you have large breasts and you sleep on your side a certain way, there are things like that as well.
Oh, yeah. No, sleeping on your side without using like a pillow or one of the stickers to spread that out.
Yeah.
You get those creases right down the center. That's a huge problem for women that you have to start early on preventing that.
We used to have those where literally would keep them apart.
Yeah.
And stick them on. And yeah. So.
Yeah, and you can still find them on, you know, anywhere that you would want to order them online. Women are able to get those stickers. So if they're sensitive to adhesives like I am, then you can get a pillow. So they literally make pillows to keep the girls apart.
So what do these pillows look like? I haven't shopped for that sort of thing.
You should Google it. There's some funny ones. I'm not going to lie. When I was looking for one, I was like, that's interesting. Yeah. But we'll save that for another chat.
All right.
So prevention, we know, is number one. But if they already have the wrinkles, what's the fastest way to clean them up?
So I like combination therapy.
Me too.
Because I think at the end of the day, you want everything to look nice, mm-hmm. be younger, healthier skin. So it's usually not, almost anything we do is rarely is it just one thing.
Yeah.
So you do some combination, and I always put photofacial in that begin with. Because if you get rid of the reds and browns, it looks better right away.
Well, and I would say half the chests that we see, the pigment is the most obnoxious part of it.
Yeah.
That if you just get rid of it, it already looks 85% better.
Yeah. And even though you haven't really done anything yet, maybe for the wrinkles, mm-hmm. a good photofacial will actually stimulate the production of collagen mm-hmm. and elastin. You get the proliferation of fibroblasts to make collagen. So it's really a good thing to do mm-hmm. as far as an anti-aging program anyway.
Yeah.
In the pursuit of younger, healthier skin. So I think that's a great starting point. And then I think there's lots of different avenues you can go after that. Microneedling. Mm-hmm. Microneedling RF is probably an advance over microneedling.
Absolutely.
And that's an easy treatment too. And you know, you can do the décolleté and get in there and really work that area beautifully. Mm-hmm. And if the twins are sagging a little, you can do the breasts at the same time, you know. So it's just a nice treatment for that whole area. And I think that's a good way to go. What else do we have? We have profractional.
Yeah, I was going to say my favorite is still fractionated resurfacing. If they're a skin type that's appropriate for it and they have the downtime and they're not going to be in the sun, I think one of the fastest ways you can get rid of it is fractionated resurfacing.
Yeah.
But it hurts. You bleed, you have downtime, you have to protect it from the sun. But if you want to get there quickly, that's still one of my favorites. Doing that with exosomes on top is, I think, such an effective treatment.
Absolutely. So again, your exosomes will make that treatment, the duration of the, I would say, downtime or not looking your best, it's going to reduce that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what used to be where you do a pretty aggressive treatment to really make a difference for someone, you know, they may have 5, 6, 7 days. It may now be 2, 3, 4 mm-hmm. or less. So, and of course, it depends on how aggressive you are. But I think the microneedling RF and fractionated laser is a game changer.
Yep.
And if you have the profractional, we have a couple of those from Cyton, and it allows you to add heat if you want to. So you can add what's called coag 1, 2, 3, where you, in some cases, you might want to add a little more heat, and that's going to depend on, you know, their skin typing. You know, what skin type are they? Fitzpatrick, darker skin, you're not going to be doing that.
Yep, exactly.
So you're going to be careful with it, but I absolutely think that that's something that not only can reduce the wrinkles, but can also tighten at the same time. So that's a nice treatment. And then there are lots of other things. If, you know, just starting off with microdermabrasion, you know.
And the other things that go with it, when we're thinking combination therapy, you know, for us, we're either going to do like an RF microneedling series or a fractionated resurfacing series, and then we're going to throw an injectable on top.
Yes.
It's either going to be a Sculptra, a hyperdilute Radiesse, or it's going to be a PRF combined with threads, PDO threads in there. And so you do have the combination that after you have done you know, or built the cake, as I always like to say, with your energy-based devices, then you come back, and as your final kind of top-off, it's one of these injectables. And which one's better, it's kind of hard to say, because I feel like different people work better with different injectables. But you as an injector, which one do you like the best? Do you like the hyperdilute radius? Do you like the Sculptra? Or does your patient want something more natural, like putting a PRF in there so it's not a different injectable product? You have multiple ways that you can go after this texture as like your icing on the cake to top off after you've really repaired the skin.
Exactly. And if you were to start with Photofacial on it, and then if you have, we have a device called Aquapherm.
Yes.
Yes, is that the correct name?
Yes, it is.
Just wanted to make sure.
I didn't know where you were going with that, but yes.
So we just recently got it, and we absolutely love it because it really hydrates the skin, but it will also take, you know, all the dead stuff off the top.
I never thought I would hear you say that you loved a facial procedure.
I was shocked. My mistake was laying down and getting one.
I know.
It's like, oh, my God, I kind of like this. Oh, my skin is bright and youthful. It's like, you know, that's kind of good. So I think this is something that, you know, following a Photofacial is really nice because you get rid of all that, but you are now prepping it for microneedling RF or, you know, fractionated laser, things like that. And I think, you know, again, it's combination. The more combination type things you can do, I think the faster you're going to get there. Mm-hmm. And if you always look at it like, okay, I've only got one thing, you know, you're going to have to do that one thing extremely aggressively. But if you have two or three things or four or five things and you can do it over time, each thing is a little bit less aggressive, but in combination, it's actually more. Yeah. And so that's really it. You can get the patient where you want them in a shorter period of time and reduce their skin age, you know, get the aesthetic part of skin aging going in the right direction. So I think that's very helpful.
Yeah.
But it's still going to be a series of treatments. Yeah. You know, it's not like, okay, we've got a lot of wrinkles and stuff in here. We'll go in, get one treatment. Now, I mean, the more insanely aggressive the treatment, you know, the more risk you have. Mm-hmm. So you do have to be careful with it, but, you know, the bigger the results. So reward risk, you have to always weigh that. But I think the safe way to do this is just do a few things, give it some time, do a, you know, a couple things, few things, kind of do it like that, and all of a sudden it's like magic. You've reduced the skin age, you've gotten rid of the pigment, the redness, and all of a sudden the skin starts looking very youthful and healthy again and tightens up, and you don't see the wrinkles. So I think that's the best way to approach it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good.
Good.
All right. Well, our next question is can you do PRF in autoimmune diseases? So we get a lot of questions about things like this. And technically with PRF, yes, you could treat an autoimmune patient, but it depends on where they're at in their disease. So if an autoimmune patient is newly diagnosed in their disease and their immune system is going haywire, it's not that you couldn't do PRF because it's only their natural body, only their immune system. My assumption would be that they would react very strongly to it. They might have more inflammation, more swelling, more downtime associated to it. But you don't have to worry about them rejecting it, possibly like they could with another product that would be a foreign body. So it would still be doable. However, my rule of thumb for my autoimmune patients is I don't want you to be in an active flare. So if they are in an active flare, they need to worry about their health, not about these elective procedures. That's, you know, my number one thing. Now, the other side of the autoimmune spectrum is if they are on immunosuppressive drugs. So if they are on a long-term immunosuppressive drug, a long-term prednisone, will it work? Maybe. So the problem with that is we're depressing the immune system, and the whole point of PRF or platelet-rich fibrin is to put a bunch of platelets in an area to attract a bunch of fibroblasts to deposit collagen. Now, if they cut their arm and they still heal, then they still produce collagen, meaning, yes, it would probably still work. But my assumption would be is their result is going to be diminished. So the conversation that I have with these patients is, yes, I can treat you, but it's going to take, you know, maybe 3 to 4 times more treatments for you than it would for the average person. So it's going to be more expensive, and there's nothing that we can do about that. Unfortunately, because their immune system is depressed at the time, that's the only option that they have. So yes, you can definitely do it. It's just kind of figuring out where they're at in their stage of the disease and if this is going to actually work for them, and or are they risking a huge flare-up from it. So.
Yeah, we've treated autoimmune patients for years, you know, and normally just in a short discussion with them, you have a good idea where they are and how they're doing, and they've been under treatment for some time, and everything is stable and all that. And I mean, God, we've resurfaced. We've done lots of things that are pretty aggressive treatments. So I think the key is each patient is an individual.
Yep.
Be careful. Ask all the questions. Your interview with them, if you will, the consultation needs to be very, very well done. You need to ask all the right questions and enough questions so that you're comfortable moving forward.
Yeah.
And you can always go back to their physician who is in charge.
Yes.
So, you know, get a letter, a note from them.
Medical clearance.
Exactly. Because what we want to do, you know, you don't ever want to take a situation and make it worse.
Yeah.
So, you know, do no harm. Mm-hmm. We're in the business of helping people, and, you know, look better, feel better. But, you know, the whole thing is really understanding each patient that comes in. And I think that starts with a really good consultation.
Yep. And I've definitely done that where I've had lupus patients and you have to get clearance for certain energy-based devices on them. And I just had them reach out to their rheumatologist because in reality, I agree with you. The disease that they're fighting is the most important thing. The last thing we want to do is take an elective procedure and make them worse. You know, our goal is to make them better. But as for those of you who know me personally, I have an autoimmune disease, but I'm considered in remission. So I've done all kinds of things from fractionated resurfacing, RF microneedling, regular radiofrequency, photofacials. I've had PDO threads. I've had hyaluronic acid fillers. I've had PLLA.
She's had everything.
I'm unfortunately releasing all my secrets. I've had neuromodulator. I've had PRF, which I absolutely love. For me, because I'm not on immunosuppressive drugs, PRF works excellent for me. So, but I'm in remission. So it's a whole different spectrum where I'm not in an active flare. So I have that conversation with my patients of there's definitely things we could do. And on the grand scheme of things, when you are dealing with an autoimmune patient, if you are worried in any way that their immune system would react to something foreign, meaning one of the other injectables that technically has different products in it, PRF's going to be one of your safest because it's their own body. Yeah. And as long as they don't have an autoimmune that is attacking their white blood cells, then you don't have to worry about it. Yeah. So that's, for me, one of the routes that I do actually like to treat autoimmune patients with if they're, you know, in a stable environment, because I know their body's not going to reject it.
Yeah. So basically, good consult.
Yes.
You know, get clearance if you need to.
Yep.
And proceed.
Yep.
Carefully, slowly, but proceed.
Which wraps us into the next question is, what aesthetic procedures can you do on pregnant women?
Well, just about zero.
No. So I have one good answer for this.
Okay.
But it would be sheer torture. That if you really, so number one, with pregnant women, lidocaine is out. You cannot use it. Do not use it. Do not inject it. Do not put it on topically. So anything you do to a pregnant woman, there is zero numbing, right? So the two things that I know that could safely be done, one would be regular microneedling, right? No microneedling with RF, just regular microneedling, because all you're doing is poking holes, and pregnant women can get, you know, blood drawn or things like that if they need to. And number two would be PRF. So I wouldn't experiment with PRP because there's heparin in it or anticoagulants in it, but PRF has nothing in it but their own body, meaning you could draw their blood, spin it down and inject it back in. There's nothing in it but that. But again, they get zero numbing. So they would either have to go through injections with no numbing or a regular microneedling with no numbing, in which case you could put PRF on top of it.
Yeah, you might want to wait if you do it the way we do it.
I agree. But in reality, those are the two things you could probably get away with, but the key would be no lidocaine involved at all.
And the reality is most things you do are not going to affect the fetus at all. But if something happens, you know...
you don't have any studies to back yourself up.
There's no way to back that up. But, you know, if you're treating someone's face and, you know, that any energy-based device, that energy would go all the way to the fetus. Not, you know, it's not plausible, but you know, things can happen. So we don't do it. Just don't do it.
It's just easier that way. Yeah. I just tell them, come back when you're done breastfeeding.
Yep.
That's usually the way to go.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to skip a question and jump to the next one. Okay. What technology should a new practice start with?
Well, I'd say a mirror. Really important. Get a good mirror. Do a good consult, because otherwise, no matter what you have, it's not going to be busy. So technologies, I think that's it's a very good question.
It's a loaded question, though.
Yeah, it is. It's the technology, as we have mentioned over the last few podcasts, I'm sure it's come up, the technologies have gotten so good in the last few years. It's just so much better than they used to be. That and they do such a good job, you know, where to start. So, and I also think, what's the interest of the practice? You know, is the practice going by way of body contouring, or are they starting with the face and then going body?
Yep.
Some people start body and then go face. You know, it's kind of where's your big interest in what you want to do. If you have some staff that were somehow involved in rehab or physical rehab or something, body might be the direction that you go. So I think that's going to make a difference. But generally speaking, I think the big money is still in the face. You know, as far as, you know, that's what everybody sees, you know. You're not covering it up with clothes, you know. It's there, and I think, you know, people will come in and say, yes, I want my body, but I want my face first.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then if you say, okay, we're starting with face, where do you want to start? You can start with something as simple as, you know, microdermabrasion or, you know, like Aquapherm, or just, you know, very softer, gentler things. Or you can say, I want photofacial, and then you look at all the options for that. We want resurfacing. There's lots of options. You know, I think microneedling RF is probably one of the more popular treatments in the United States today. I mean, it's just that they're everywhere. And I think that they make a huge difference, and people can be very busy with it for, you know, the whole going back to CT3, treating color, tone, texture, and tightening. You know, microneedling RF, you know, depending on which system you have, but it can do pretty much all of that. So there's really good things associated with that, so I think that's a worthwhile. One of our biggest treatments is photofacial, though.
Yeah. And that's where I think it comes down to the practice is, number one, who's your demographic, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing you have to ask yourself is, who are your patients? What's their age? What's their Fitzpatrick skin type? And anytime I've done, you know, lectures at conferences where patients are newer, the physicians are newer, I tell them to poll their patients and put a list of things as, which of these bothers you the most? The pigment on your face, the wrinkles on your face, you know, the skin laxity, just a couple things, and have them pick one and see what's the most popular. And to be honest, put hair removal on there.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how many people still want hair removal. It's one of those things where, even for us, it's not our big money maker, but people still come in for it. And if it's one of those things that can be an add-on to a device that you do as like a combination, but you can actually treat people with it, you forget that if you get them in the door for something as simple as hair removal, they have to be there for 6 to 8 treatments. Now you can sell them something else. So it gets them in the door. So, you know, what I always want them to do is poll their patients and who is your demographic.
And, you know, if you have a younger patient group, acne may be a big part of it.
Absolutely.
And hormonal acne, at some point, mm-hmm. it becomes an issue. And, you know, there are devices right now that are so good. They treat all skin types. There's a device out there called Neo Elite by Aerolace. And we have recently purchased one of those. And, I mean, you can treat all skin types, and you can do acne and rosacea and just veins, vessels, you know, all kinds of stuff with it. But it just opens the door for some things that otherwise you might not do.
Yeah.
So, again, if you have a darker skin type patient population where you're doing a lot of 3 and above, so, you know, 4, 5, 6s, mm-hmm. then you have to look at your technology differently.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't do you any good to buy the best, you know, photofacial device out there if you're doing skin types mostly 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
And your patient base is 4, 5, 6. So, you know, just there is some common sense to it, but these are mistakes that are made all the time.
Yep.
And they don't ask enough questions, or they just don't have enough foundation to do that. Or to know which direction to go. So I think being careful with that. But that's it. But I think microneedling, photofacial, hair, all of that is big.
And that would be my suggestion, that if an office was going to choose to start with one, depending on their demographics, they should either choose a photofacial or an RF microneedling. Yep. Because that's a good place to start that covers a lot of issues. And then they just need to figure out where's their patient base and what's the primary issue. So.
And you know, what's your budget?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you have an unlimited budget, you can buy all the toys to begin with. You know, just have everything, and no matter what walks in the door, you can treat it once you're trained to treat it and to do that consult, right?
Yep.
But not most offices don't have that.
And most shouldn't start like that if they don't have the patient base yet, because that's the biggest way to close your doors early is invest in too much. You know, whenever I have this conversation with new offices, I tell them, buy your first device, get going on that, make it pay for itself, and then invest in your next device and keep going from there. So that way you're not opening up with 12 rooms that are empty, with 12 devices that aren't being used, and all of a sudden now you can't pay the rent.
Yeah.
You know, it's
step by step.
Exactly.
Yeah, people tend to overdo it. And the other thing, too, is if you're just setting up and starting up, you want a nice, clean place. This isn't the topic we're on, but you want that, but you know, you don't need all granite and marble.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, be wise where you spend your money. If you put all the money into what your place looks like and you have no money for technology, you're not going to get very far. And I've been in offices that have done that. So, you know, just take a slow, easy, common sense approach to it and you'll do well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, good. Kind of leads into my next question, is that we just started doing photofacials and we striped a patient. What do you do now?
Oh, you are screwed.
Oh, stop it. Larry.
This is not unusual for people starting out.
Mm-hmm.
It happens all the time.
What do you think the number one reason is for striping? I have my guess. You can guess yours.
I have two things.
All right.
Too much energy, or going, you know, too fast, where you just, you know, you didn't mark an area and fill in the space.
Yeah. I think treating tan patients.
Well, that will do it.
Because technically you have photofacialed off their tan, and you're right. If the spacing's not proper, then you're going to leave the tan behind.
Yeah.
I have definitely seen that where I had... And off, you know, had somebody freak out that photofacialed somebody's chest and striped them. And when I got to look at it, I was like, And it turned out that the girl had been spray tanning and it wasn't completely off. And I was like, oh, we'll let the spray tan fade and then we'll treat over it. Ended up being perfect.
Yeah.
But they were freaked out that they had permanently striped this patient.
Well, starting off, do make sure there's no fake tan.
Yes.
Period. I mean, you can alcohol, acetone, whatever you
have
to do.
Ask questions. When's the last time you've spray tanned? When's the last time you've had sun exposure? Can I see where your tan lines would normally be?
Yeah.
Because same thing, if they come in and they're like, you know, evenly kind of looking overall, you get them in the wrap to photofacial and all of a sudden there's very dramatic tan lines.
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't treat.
Yeah. That's a big warning, flashing warning sign.
Yeah.
So I think...
How do you fix it, though?
I think that's the key, is there's lots of ways of getting it. Also, the technique can, you know... If your technique... You do need to overlap.
Yep.
And if you're not overlapping, and I always crosshatch, so go horizontal and go vertical, less likely to get striping.
Yep.
The getting rid of it... we have seen, you know, horror stories. We had a patient that had come here, and she came from Florida, where she had gotten a treatment in Florida and got striped really badly, and went to actually a training center in Scottsdale, and someone there told her to lay out in the sun.
Oh my gosh!
To even it out, and of course that. That was, it turned out horrible for her. And she was eventually referred to us, and we corrected it, but you correct it slowly over time. You can't just get rid of those stripes. And what I like to do is just use lower energy, maybe a higher wavelength, lower energy, and you can go over everything, because where you no longer have the pigment, you know, it's, there's not much being attracted, but you can start to blend it in and just, you know, but tell the patient it's not going to be one treatment. This is going to be a series to get all of it to look alike, but that it's not going to be a long-term problem. And that's, I think, important. They need to understand this is very fixable, and but they are going, you know, if it's this time of year, you're outside or something, you've got stripes all over you. It's, you know, it's not very complimentary.
No, and I was working with an office with Courtney in Illinois, and when I was out there doing some advanced training with her, this is a patient that she brought in. She did not do it. So this patient had been treated by another office and was definitely tanned. And originally from the photos, Courtney thought maybe she had been scarred because it was a little bit hard to tell. When she brought her in, her chest and neck were striped all the way across. I mean, like, so bad. Luckily, though, when I looked at it, there was no textural change. So I'm like, they photofacialed you while you were tan.
Yeah.
And Courtney has the Hero, or the BBL in motion.
Yeah.
So what we ended up doing was the in motion over the entire areas. And then we went back and spot treated where the bars were the darkest in between.
Yeah.
And the before and after on this lady was amazing. It was awesome because Courtney was able to use it so she can advertise with it now.
Yeah.
But she completely cleaned up this lady's chest and it looks amazing.
Yeah. So it's not a long-term problem.
Yeah.
You know, but people will freak out. They, you know, so you've got to deal with the patient right away.
Yeah. But the number one thing that you have to do first, though, is you get them in and you deal with them. But sometimes you have to tell them, we can't do anything for 3 to 4 weeks until the spray tan, sun exposure, whatever is gone. That's what we had done with Courtney's patient. She had sent me the photos a month in advance, and I told the patient, tons of sunscreen, sun shirts all the way up. The patient was diligent on it, so we treated her when I arrived. And amazing, but she was, and it's funny that we got into the whole conversation of the, you know, the one-piece long-sleeve swimsuits that are actually cute now, ladies. They have some nice ones out there, because I'm one of those that, you know, we're going to talk about some other stuff, but it's summertime. You know, I'm going to be out in the sun. I'm always wearing long sleeve sun shirts
you
when
I'm
out
there. You have two-piece. I've seen them.
But I have the shirts that go over it.
Okay.
So that's where it's like, if you don't want the one-piece suit, there's really cute long sleeve. There's even ones that zip, so they're easy to get on and off. You have to protect the area diligently in order to clean it up. So.
Well, the bottom line is, don't freak. You can fix it, but make, you know, the whole thing is a lot of communication with the patient.
Yeah.
You don't want them freaking. They need to understand, this is, because they may want to go to other offices and talk to them and everything else. And, you know, they start thinking they need to sue you or something like that. And this is something that's very fixable.
Yep.
Quickly.
Yep. So, and I mean, obviously we're talking about striping versus burning and blistering. That's a whole different category. So we're not getting into that. We're literally just talking about the stripes where it's been a lot of pigment has been taken off. They've left white, dark. That's what we're focusing on. Scarring would be a whole different topic, but striping itself is pretty easy to fix. Larry is correct, though. Communicate with the patient, get them in there, and let them know it's going to take a little bit of time. But it's very doable. We have had multiple cases come into our office from different Fitzpatrick skin types that have been striped, and we've always been able to fix it.
Yeah, and many times we fix it for free.
Yeah.
Just, you know, just help them out. You know, they're freaked out. Help them out. And a lot of times it makes all the difference in the world.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, so on to our next question.
Okay.
How soon can you treat a surgical scar?
Well, the general thought has always been you need to give it some time, you know, before you treat. And you know, we have, I've actually been on the podium with Dr. Jill Weibel, and she is a specialist in Florida.
Dermatologist.
Dermatologist, and she does scars, lots and lots of scars, probably more than anyone in the country.
Yes.
And
her presentation called Scar Wars is one of my favorites.
Scar Wars. So, and she does every kind of scar there is, and she uses different technologies together to get the best outcome. And she has been, you know, saying for some time now that you can treat a scar the day the sutures come out.
Yep.
So, you know, the idea that you have to wait weeks or months to do it, no, you don't. You know, if you wanted to wait an extra week or two, it's not going to hurt anything.
Yeah.
But that you can treat literally the day the sutures come out.
Yep. I remember in her Scar Wars presentation, the thing that she had said is you could treat an acne scar as soon as it's healed.
Yeah.
You could treat a burn scar as soon as the epidermis had healed over, and that you could treat a surgical scar as soon as the sutures have come out.
Yeah.
And again, if you're concerned about it, what I always tell people is who is their treating physician for the burn, for the surgery, make sure that they know of it or give it a couple extra weeks, but you don't need to wait months. I think, I believe the sooner you get on it and get that skin to remodel it properly, the less likely they are to be stuck with a really bad scar.
Well, not only that, I think it heals easier and faster.
Yep.
And that whole remodeling. And now, again, with exosomes.
Yep. That's right? What I was thinking
too. When you can add something to what you're doing to make a bigger difference, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
You know, this is so easy to do. And you could send them home with some and all that type of thing. I just think, yeah, of course, do it.
All right. Our next question is, we photofacialed a melasma patient, and she looked great for a few months, and now she looks worse. Why did this happen?
Because you did the wrong thing. And I'm telling you that as a person who has done the wrong thing.
You know? Me too.
I mean, you know, you all use the tools that you have and the knowledge that you have at that time.
Yep, which originally photofacials were the way to treat melasma.
And so we used to do that. And, you know, you think you're doing the right thing. And absolutely, they looked great. And they were so happy. And then, you know, 4 months, 6 months later, something, they're back in your office going, it's worse.
Yep, comes what back happened? With a vengeance.
Yeah. And so, you know, be aware, it's not, don't photofacial it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a real short-term type thing, and there are offices still doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, don't go in that direction. There are other ways to treat it, and there are other technologies that, you know, are promoting really good results for melasma. And so if you can find a technology, we've got two or three.
We're not going to get into too
Won't. Yeah, we're not going to go into each detail, but there are a lot of technologies out there now that will tell you that they can absolutely treat melasma and get good results with the melasma. And but I think a big part of it is your post-treatment protocol.
It is.
And that's something that, you know, we have changed in our office.
Yes. Yep.
Substantially. And I think that helps, you know. So Sometimes it's not just the treatment you're doing, but what is your post-treatment protocol to make sure that any treatment you did, you get the best possible outcome from what you did.
Yep.
And a lot of times it's that post-treatment that will make the difference.
It is. But for the reason why photofacial makes it worse is because of heat. So we all know that sun triggers melasma. We all know that hormones trigger melasma. But if you really look into it, heat is also one of the big factors. And I'm going to have to admit, I was at a conference, and I'm not going to remember which physician had the story. It was either Dr. Bitters, Dr. Burns, or Dr. Ibrahim. It was one of those three. But their most difficult melasma patient was a chef, because she was cooking every night, and she was a very high-level chef who, again, from 6 o'clock in the evening until midnight or 1 was over hot pots, hot stoves. And they said that was one of the worst melasma cases they had to battle. And this patient never went outside, because she would sleep in the daytime, get up, be going to work at, you know, 5 or 6, working all night. It was the heat. It was the heat from cooking. And those are three very well-known doctors, and I wish I could remember. For some reason, I think it was Dr. Ibrahim's story, but I can't remember if it was Dr. Burns for some reason or Dr. Bitters. But they were sharing their, you know, how they battled this. But for those of you who don't think it was heat, that's what they were talking about. They're like, this lady never saw the light of day, but yet had the worst melasma they had ever seen.
Well, we've always attributed to the sun,
because
you get hot when you're in the sun, and that the sun is going to create more activity, more melanocytes, more of that. That's, you know, so anyway, I think it is very possible now to treat melasma and to, I don't know if will be eliminated forever, but I think big changes. My wife used to have melasma. Gone, totally 100% gone. So I think hormones also do play a role, but I do think you can also get it out of under total control nowadays and take care of it. So, but there are some technologies that you can look into, or you can contact us if you're interested.
Yep.
And we'll tell you what we have and what seems to work. So. Okay.
Well, we've got three questions left, so I'm going to try to run us through this.
Okay.
So our next one is surgery the only way to get rid of IBACs?
Negative. Negative, everyone. You can get rid of IBACs by killing the fat pad.
And if the IBACs are fat.
If it's fat, that's right. So you do have to be careful, because people will present with eye bags, and you really do have to look, is it fat or is it fluid?
Yes.
And sometimes it's going to be fluid.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a technology called Agnes that really is beautiful for treating fat, whether it's eye bags or buckle or whatever. But, you know, eye bags is something, and it's why we got the Agnes.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, okay, you see them in your office, and what do? You refer them out. And there's a device that actually will kill the fat, whether it's submental or jawline or, you know, anterior bra, or, you know, it can be your eye bag fat. So but you do have to make sure that's what it is, because many times people will show up hating their eye bags and it's fluid.
Yeah.
That's, you're not going to be able to get rid of that using that.
Yeah. So the short answer is yes, if it's fat, there's a non-surgical option. If it's fluid, they probably need to see a surgeon. Because even the surgeons struggle with that. But for sure, non-invasively, that's a difficult problem to treat.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'm going to shorten us on that one, because that was a quick, easy one, because we do have two more. So our next question is, if you were treating a 65-year-old face that has had no previous treatments, what would be your typical go-to technologies and what order would you use them?
Okay, so when this comes in, and this is why sometimes having multiple technologies is very helpful, because there's so many things that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Now you take a 65-year-old, you got to look at the health history and what's going on with her in addition.
Or him.
But we're going to assume that the patient is healthy.
Yes.
And that they just did not have any treatments. And so, you know, I don't know anyone that age who would not have pigment. So
correct.
You have to start someplace, okay? So a lot of times starting with the reds and the browns for face and neck or chest, that type of thing is a starting point for them. You're not going to have anyone at that age who doesn't have loose skin.
You know? Absolutely.
So, you know, skin will be saggy. I mean, maybe it starts at the forehead where the eyebrows are hanging low. You can lift the eyebrows up. So you do a forehead lift or a little brow lift. Beautiful. So, again, if you have technology that will do that, and this is non-surgical, then you can do that for them. So, and what do the eyelids look like? Do you have a way to treat the eyelids? If you do, you can contract that tissue, and there's a couple different ways of being able to do that. Actually, three that I can think of that work beautifully for tightening and helping that tissue and kind of come down the face. And, you know, we get low face laxity is very common. So there's lots of ways of treating that, you know, everything from lasers to thread lifts, and sometimes they need filler, they're hollow. So there's just so many things, but this is why the consultation is so critical. Doing it from top to bottom and actually discussing each and every issue. And I've had discussions or somewhat disagreements with some physicians who say, you know, they came in for this. Don't overwhelm them. Just talk about this. The problem is when you fix that one thing, everything left behind looks worse. You might as well address it and then have a order in which you're going to do it so that they know there's a real plan from start to finish. And so I always like pigment, reds and browns, and get collagen going as a starter. Because, number one, they're going to look better right away.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice thing for them. If you do skin tightening, honestly, it takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to get to see it. But starting with something like that is good. And then the other thing I like to do is if there's structural changes like fat. You have fat where you shouldn't have it. You have eye bags, or you have a lot of buccal fat. You have submental jawline fat, something like that. They didn't come in with that in mind unless maybe they're referred to you. And so to be able to do that, if you have a tool that will get rid of that fat, now you've made a change that is like dramatic for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to like that. Now, if you remove fat and you had loose skin to begin with, what are you going to have? More loose skin. Okay? So be aware, you know, you need to have skin tightening technology.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be like, oh, I'll do one or two treatments. It's going to make all the difference. It might be four or five, six treatments to really make a difference, and then just spread that out. It took 60-some years or whatever to get here. Let's not try to fix this in 6 weeks. You know, just take your time with it. Now, a lot of times we'll have patients fly in and they want this one big thing, like deep resurfacing. Can you tighten them? Can you, you know, give them all new baby skin? Can you do all that in a really short period of time and take, you know, 10, 15, 20 years off? Yes. The answer is yes, you can. And we do that. But that's not for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, so
I was going to say, you know, like the short answer for me for a 65-year-old is if they came in, they wear Fitzpatrick 1-3 skin type.
Yeah.
I would want to do photofacials and resurfacing. The level of resurfacing would depend on, again, their downtime, all kinds of things. But photofacials would be my number one because we've got to get some health to that skin, we also have to get rid of some of the reds and the vessels if we're going to resurface, or they're going to be red forever afterwards. So I would immediately jump to Photofacial, and then I would go to resurfacing. However, if my 65-year-old was a Fitzpatrick 4, 5, or 6, I'm going to choose RF microneedling.
Yeah.
Like, that for me would be the go-to, because I can address pigmentation. I can address reds, because sometimes Fitzpatrick 4s have reds. I can address texture. I can address laxity. It's just going to take us longer to get there. And then both groups, whether you're a Fitz 1 through 3 or a Fitz 4 through 6, my icing on the cake is going to be the injectables. You talked about that volume loss and stuff. That is going to be in there, but I'm going to start with one of those technologies first, and then I'm going to go down that route.
If your 1, 2, or 3 skin type doesn't want downtime, you go to microneedling RF.
Yep,
I agree. So you have options, and maybe you don't even do deep resurfacing. Maybe you do medium or mild.
Yeah,
and
like
you
a halo.
You do a few of those.
Yep.
Exactly. So I think there's lots of ways to be able to solve the patient's problem, but it's really up to the patient. It's, you know, what's their budget? What's their time frame?
Yep.
You know, if they come in and they've got a wedding next month that they forgot about, well, you know, that's a whole different ball game, right? But
at that point, you're getting some fillers, some neuromodulator, some threads, and then we'll see you later.
Yeah. You're going to try to pull that face up. But but if you can say, look, it took 60-some years to get here, let's spend a year. Like, maybe a year from now you have an anniversary, high school reunion, family reunion. Let's work toward that and just take a nice, easy approach, because you don't want downtime. Let's take a nice, easy approach to it, and we'll just go you know, every month or every 5-6 weeks, we'll give you, you know, some good treatments and get there that way. And that can, your treatments could be Photofacial with microneedling RF. It could be, we have a device called Moxie, wonderful with Photofacial.
Yeah.
You know, that will help get there a little bit faster too. So just different things like that.
Yep. All right. We've got to do our last question, because we've got to wrap up.
Okay.
Okay. So our last question is, we are thinking about treating hyperhidrosis. What are our options, and what do you use to treat it?
Well, you know, like, if hyperhidrosis, usually underarms, you know, things like that, you can stuff a bunch of rags, you know. no, not a good option.
Put some maxi pads up there. I actually had a friend in high school who was a waitress, and she would sweat really bad, and that's literally what she would do, would put maxi pads in there when she was at work.
Oh, Lord.
It worked, though.
I'm sure. There may be better ways. Okay?
There are. So let's talk about, what are some of the options? So usually with the hyperhidrosis patients, they'll start with using prescription deodorants and some of those things. But if they really don't work, one of the first and easy ones to use is neuromodulator. So it doesn't matter to me what kind of neuromodulator you do, but it takes a large number of units. So if you're dealing with a Botox, a Jeuveau, a Xeomin, it's 100 units. If you're dealing with Dysport, it's 300 units. And they have to come about every 9 to 12 months. So it's fairly easy. The injections are quick and easy. It's very effective, but it's shorter lasting. So that's one of the things of it. So some patients like that because the safety profile is very high with this. It's, you know, we've never had a single complication with it.
Yeah.
So that's one option. What's another option?
Well, there's a device called MiraDry.
Yeah, MiraDry.
And it's been around for a long time now.
Yep.
And that is what it does.
You know, it is.
That's the sole purpose, is for hyperhidrosis.
And it's very effective.
And it absolutely works. And so that's
that. But there are some side effects.
There can be.
And we're not going to get too into that, but what I will tell patients is, if you are struggling with hyperhidrosis and you're considering it, you need to research the side effects and find out if those are going to be issues that you don't want to deal with.
You can also do the neurotoxin first to try it. Just, okay, I like this. Yes, it really made a big difference. If I could make that be more permanent, I would love it, you know, or that type of thing.
Yep.
So that would work.
And then what do we use in our practice?
We have the device, we're going back to it again, called Agnes.
Mm-hmm.
And Agnes, I talked about, you know, eye bags and buccal fat and all that. So it really works well for fat, but it also works well for hyperhidrosis.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to talk about what you do with it?
Yeah, so it's very easy. So originally, Agnes was designed for selective sebaceous gland destruction, going after acne. That was Dr. Ahn's purpose. But there's a bunch of different tips of different lengths that can go in the skin. And one of them that was originally designed for wrinkles can actually be used to destroy some of these sweat glands. So it's an easy procedure where you inject them with a little bit of lidocaine. You do a single pass. It takes you about 5-10 minutes of using the Agnes device. And it takes about 3 treatments. So you do it once a month for 3 times. Other than the lidocaine injections, the patients really have no pain. They have no downtime with it, and it can significantly reduce the sweating. Now, the longevity of it is the only answer I don't have, because we've only kind of been experimenting with that over the last couple years. So I can't tell you if patients are going to get 10-plus years out of it. I can tell you it's been lasting longer than the neuromodulator, and it's very effective. So it might be an option where there's not going to be the same side effect profile as there is with Miradry. However, yet I can't give you the answer if it's going to compete with the longevity.
I think it's a scenario where you look at what all you have in your practice.
If
you have eye bags, if you have buccal fat, if you have submental fat, and you're thinking about getting something for hyperhidrosis, you might be able to get one device, the Agnes, to do it all.
Yeah.
And that's what we found, is that it's does so many things.
Yeah.
It's been quite a workhorse for us. So,
yeah. Well, good.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's going to wrap us up for today, because we're running a little behind schedule here. But thank you all for joining us, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to What Would Larry Do? Featuring Dr. Ann. Hear it live each week here or anytime 24/7 on demand at StarWorldWideNetworks.com.